This time of the year, I like to speak on matters of apologetics and defense of the faith. I want to look at some amazing things we see in the Bible, because when I open the Scriptures, they're beautiful. And I'm astounded and wonder at the things that we read about in Scripture, that the Bible is known ahead of time and has given to us ahead of time. I go to the Scriptures and I see wisdom and I see a foundation. And I think as Christians, we need to be relying upon the Scriptures more, looking upon those messages that are throughout the passages of the Bible to encourage us and direct us. And I know this, that God blesses us. He blesses those who seek Him and seek out His Word and rely upon the truth of the Scriptures. And we don't want to be gullible or naive people. The Bible teaches us to be people who test, who examine, who weigh out what is the truth. 1 Corinthians 14 tells us that in gathered in assembly, that whoever is speaking, that you should weigh out what is being said, test what they're saying, hear whether it is right or not. And we want to make sure that we're doing that, constantly doing that, and do it according to God's standard. Before we get further in our study, I ask that you pray with me. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that we can be together as Christians, that we can assemble on this Lord's Day, that we can worship You in spirit and in truth, and that we can be edified by Your Word and by Your Scriptures. Father, we thank You for the Bible, and we ask Your blessing upon us now that we have wisdom and rightly handling this text. And Father, we ask that You continue to strengthen us. And Father, bless us with opportunities to share the truth and uphold Your Word. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So again, there's some amazing things in the Bible. The Scriptures tell us that we need to not be deceived. And I think as Christians, we need to constantly be aware that we can be deceived. And we see what goes on in the world. We see the warnings that are in the Bible. And the Bible says you can deceive yourself and others can deceive you. And if you're like me, that's a very annoying thing to be deceived. And you probably think of certain, maybe sometimes in your life when you feel like you were deceived. You got caught up or wrapped up in doing something. The very idea of it is very distasteful. I hate it. No one wants to be conned. And the Bible tells us and instructs us and what to do and how to test things. So 1 Corinthians 3:18 through 20 tells us this: let no one deceive himself. You can deceive yourself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, why have the understanding? I'm the expert in this and I have the authority in this. It says, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is folly with God. Of course it is. God created all things. He's made all things. He's got wisdom and knowledge over all things. And yet anybody who wants to boast or put themselves up against God's Word and against His truth is acting as a fool. It is foolish. And the Scriptures say, for the wisdom of the world is folly with God, for it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise and that they are futile. They come to vanity. This morning, I want to look at a few passages real quick that just give us this introduction. I know we usually focus on one text and do an exposition, but I want to note a number of scriptures on deception. Look here in Ephesians 5 and verse 6. Now, Paul says to the church there, he says, let no one deceive you with empty words. And there's a lot of that that goes on. All social media and the things that are going around in pop culture, and these things that are being put out there, a lot of it's just empty. It's vanity. He says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. People go along with it. They hear it. They believe it. They don't test it. Or part of our passage that we read from this morning, from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, John says to the Christians, he says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Don't believe them all. But do what? But test the spirits to see whether they are from God. This is the same thing we see in the Old Testament, what we see taught in the Old Testament. Test the spirits. Know whether someone is actually teaching the truth and whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone into the world. And so we're told to do this. We're told to, and the Bible has given us instruction, that we are to know if something is true by more than two or three primary witnesses, eyewitnesses, primary sources. You see this in Deuteronomy 17 and Deuteronomy 19. We see it echoed by Christ in John 8 and verse 17. He says, by two or more witnesses, you'll know that if something is true. Or like 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 1 tells us the same thing, that every charge is to be established by two or more witnesses. And I could go on that. And so the Bible tells us how to test. And we're encouraged here in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 22. Where Paul says, do not quench the Spirit. You don't want to hinder anything that's from God's Holy Spirit or from His Word. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Don't despise Scripture. Don't despise any revelation. But He does also say, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil. I noticed this also, 1 Timothy, and I think it's very relevant because what I want to look at this morning is God's foreknowledge and what He has already presented and taught in the Scriptures that I think that we need to be mindful of today, the great wisdom and the intelligence that is presented to us in the Bible. So 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, and this is according to the King James Version. I like it here. It usually says in other translations knowledge instead of the word science here, but I'm being emphatic on that. He says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions, that is, contradictions of science, falsely so called. In other words, it's not really knowledge, or it's not really science. And you've probably been confronted with that in the last 2 years. What things that were once called science are like, well, that's not really the science anymore. And to come to find out, we've been going along with the consensus more than what is actually true. And I think in many ways, much that's gone on in the country, in the United States and throughout the world, has shown there's a lot of foolishness, a lot of false things that are being presented out there. And what people are just adamantly claiming as experts and authorities, that this is how it is, but it might change next week. The Word of God doesn't change, and it is not altered. And if you go and you look at the things that the Bible has to say, those things haven't changed. They have stood true. We're going to see that. Again, on the thought of being deceived, I'm greatly annoyed by it. And some of us could probably think of sometime that somebody has called you who you really actually had a bill with, and they said, hey, we want to take something off your bill, and then they want to know your last four of your Social Security so they can know who you are, and next thing you know, they're asking for your credit card. I hope that we don't give them our credit card number. But you might get something like that. You might have something pop up on the computer that says, oh, you've been infected with a virus, your antivirus is outdated, you just click here, we'll update it for you, and we'll get you on your way. And again, you got those scams. And if you've ever fallen for one of those, you know you hate it. And every one of us at some point in some part in our life, we have been deceived because we've all sinned. We've all sinned. We've all done that. We've all been conned. At some point, we've been deceived, or maybe we've done it with our eyes wide open, like Adam took the fruit from Eve. Eve was deceived, and Adam went along with it. We read about those things. And even then, when we read of others being deceived, it's quite annoying. This is the truth. When we go to the Bible, we have the basis of wisdom to understand creation, to understand the world. The scientific revolution came about because of men who believed in God and believed in Christ. They believed that you can observe and you could test and you can measure things and you could look at God's general revelation, that is His creation, and see His great power, and see how He as the lawgiver has made and put things into order, that He is the one who has given uniformity to the world, that it is from God who did that. You look at certain famous people in the past, like Francis Bacon, who's noted for forming the scientific method. Again, a believer in God, a believer of Christ. And Isaac Newton, often noted as being the smartest and greatest of all scientists of all time. And their reliance, even Isaac Newton wrote commentaries on books of the Bible. And these men are amazingly intelligent. And the basis for their intelligence and their wisdom began with God. It's because of the way that they perceived God and how they looked at the world, and they saw God's actions. They saw His works, and they stood in awe of Him. And they saw what was right before them, for them. We see this, the definition of science. Science encompasses the systematic study and structure of behavior of the physical world, the natural world, through observation and experiment. So that's an Oxford reference there, and I could have brought up other citations from Cambridge and other dictionaries as well, but it's quite clear what science is. It's knowledge that's limited to the spiritual world. It's limited. It's limited to observation and experiment. And some would even say we see it being restricted by the consensus of what the authorities say. You know, they may not know it, or they're only acting in their own opinion, what their thoughts. And those in authoritative positions, they make bold claims oftentimes. Science presupposes, and yet it can't prove many things. It has to presuppose logic and mathematics. It has to assume these things are true. And as Christians, we can. And it makes good sense that I'm perceiving the world that God has created. It makes good sense for me to think that I'm not being having these thoughts and things that I'm seeing and perceiving put in my head from a machine or a computer, or that I'm in the Matrix, or if a mad scientist is doing experiments on me, or that I'm in an alien spacecraft and someone's tricking me or deceiving me. And some people come up with some absurd ideas like that, that they have come into. But when you believe in God, you're believing that I can perceive reality. That logic and reasoning, that math, that these things are true, even though science doesn't prove them. Abstract ideas, the existence of one another's minds. There's a list here of things. Our memories of the past, morality and ethics, your conscience, aesthetic judgments about beauty. And lastly, you know, science can't prove science. That would be circular reasoning. And so many would say, oh, we've got to trust the science. But what is that? You know, the true science and true knowledge begins with God. It begins with the Creator who made the physical, the natural world, who brought it into being. And where are we without that? I think we find ourselves in a very foolish place. I look at the state of the world and enduring the things that have come under COVID as a result of a lot of our foolishness and rebellion against God. There are a lot of things that we just cannot test scientifically. We cannot observe and experiment. You can't test the cause of the universe. He, the Creator, made all things. You can't see the origin of life. Why? Because we're all life. You can't do that. But we do have one who has observed it and who tells us where all life on earth has come from. The adaptation of ancient life, and some have said, well, you can assume and you can infer these things about evolution. And again, they don't really know. Most of it is speculation. And what is missing from science, from knowledge? It's God, our perception of the world. And, you know, on a beautiful day, I look out, I see the sun coming through the trees. I like watching the clouds move over my pond, especially when I go out and fishing. And that's a place where I think this is God's creation. This is His work. And I'm in awe of it. It's beautiful. And it's a place of prayer. So when we come and we observe what God has created, it should draw us to worship Him. And the Bible teaches us that. Another thing is that about science is that it's based on cause and effect. But a lot of that has been thrown out the window. And when it comes down to the greatest cause of all, God, science cannot observe Him. What we can see is we can see His design and His work and creation. We have an intelligible universe with intelligent beings, and it wasn't caused by a non-intelligent generator. It was caused by the Creator, our God, Jehovah God. He is the one who has made all things. When I go to the Bible, I see the foreknowledge here, where God says He is the one who made it. He has made life, and that life only comes from life. What we see scientifically, Louis Pasteur, just soon after Darwin published The Origin of Species, again, show that spontaneous generation, that life coming from non-living matter, is impossible. That's hold true. It's the basis of our understanding of science and disease. And yet some people seem to have abandoned a lot of that. But no one's come close to even challenge this, despite a number of experiments that have been conducted. Life has never been made in the lab or made from non-living matter. And yet the Bible, 35 centuries ago, Moses recorded that life comes, and God created life, life comes from life, and God made that life. He did it, and all those kinds. God foreknew and He revealed that life comes from life, each from its own genus. We also see this in the Scriptures, and we've been studying about 2 weeks ago when we came across these passages. We see passages like this in Genesis 9 and Leviticus chapter 17, where the Bible already tells us that life is in the blood, and it's the blood that maintains life. It's the Scriptures that have said these things. Wisdom has been in it, but you back up 200 years ago and people were practicing bloodletting, which would kill. They killed many people. Disastrous consequences to it. What else have we missed from the Bible? And the point this morning is I want to go to the Scriptures and say there's so much in the wisdom of God that I can study. And you might be thinking, you know, this is not where my mind is right now. I'm studying this in the Scriptures and I'm studying this in the Bible. But I want to encourage you in this, that God's wisdom is there and it's present for all situations and all things that we face. And if we would approach the things that have gone on, especially in the last 2 years, with a belief and understanding and reliance upon God and His Word, I think things would be different. We'd make application of what the Bible has said and made clear that has been proved true. The basis of where life comes from, the understanding of germ theory and sterilization, and the need for asepsis in surgery, that we need a clean operating room, we would accept that. The Bible tells us the great details. One of the things that stood out, and I remember 2 years ago, and riding in the car and hearing the spread of COVID and thinking about it. You know, at first we were hearing reports that 10% of people die from it, and then 3%, and the number kept dropping. It makes you wonder what was going on. And I started thinking about this. The first thing that came to my mind was, what does the Bible say on this? Because God has given this knowledge already to the nation of Israel. He said, when you're faced with this and you see these diseases, there's a way that you can react to it. And I believe God did this to preserve the people in the nation of Israel. So some things that we see here, Leviticus 13, is that infectious diseases, that they're able to be diagnosed and that you can prevent the spread of them. It talks about quarantining those who are sick for 7 to 14 days. You might have heard of that for a while. Where does that come from? Well, first of all, we see it right here in the Bible. The covering of the upper lip is for those who are sick and those who have been quarantined. Leviticus chapter 13 tells us that. Those who have infectious wounds or come in contact with them need to wash with fresh water. And you might be thinking, well, these things are just obvious. But the Bible knew these in foreknowledge and had given them to God's people. God had revealed it to them for them to see these things, to know these things, to have a sense of health and hygiene before anybody had an understanding of germs. Contagious clothing should be washed, altered, or even burned to prevent the spread of disease. And just a few more here. The Bible, one of the most wonderful things about it, I don't know why nobody does this. Why they don't make the soap that's described in the Bible. I know that it's there. You read about it here in a number of passages and Numbers and Leviticus. They would cleanse their house when they had growths, when they had molds. And the Bible tells the Israelite people how to do that, Leviticus 14. How to avoid, also, that they need to avoid dead bodies and how they are to wash themselves. And it gives a type of soap that's antiseptic and antibacterial. You can read that in Numbers 19. The Bible gives instructions for recognizing clean water, for cleaning your dishes. It tells us many great things. And one thing that often stands out to me is there's no way that I think any man or anybody want their child to endure any kind of experiment when it comes to the eighth day, being the day when a young infant child has twice as much vitamin K and his blood is able to clot and he's able to have circumcision on that day. And that the Bible has revealed that. We see these things in Scripture. And I hope this morning that we go to the Bible and realize the truth is there. On so many levels, the Scriptures have told us and given us this great foreknowledge. And it should be clear to us that God is the author of the Bible. And we can go on. We look at many of the things that we shouldn't eat meat that's exposed, and we think, oh, of course, that's obvious, but it needs to be said. That eating blood, of course, is forbidden. That plague could be stopped if people would not keep waste within the city. That's, again, in Deuteronomy 23. So many good things that are here within the Scriptures. I encourage you this morning, we don't want to be foolish. We don't want to be gullible, especially to the deceptions of the world and the things that they call wisdom, or what they might call science. We want to test everything. We want to uphold it to the truth. As we Christians, we believe the Bible is God's wealth, His knowledge revealed to humanity. It's not a science textbook. Those have to be updated every few years. It is the truth, the unchanging truth of God's Word. I encourage you with this final passage. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this, "Every scripture is God's breath and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for training in righteousness, that the person of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." This morning, if you haven't put on Christ in baptism, we encourage you to. That's what the Bible teaches. Jesus says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And this morning, if you believe that Christ rose from the dead, you can confess your faith, repent of your sins, and be baptized into Christ. Rise up to the newness of life. We encourage you to lose your life to save it and take up your cross daily. And if you've gone away from taking up your cross daily and you haven't been following Christ, we want to pray with you. We want to encourage you to. This morning we encourage you, rely upon the Word of God for all the truth that is in it, all the wisdom that is there. Let's all stand together and sing.